our famous Mr. Townsend. You know, he was a member of the assembly, I was a member of the assembly, and then we had some others. I just give you an idea of what our assembly was like. You might be maybe amused by it. Well, now, and I am saying these things very bravely, because all these people who were members of this assembly, they're all gone to the next world. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to hear me. And if they hear me, they can't. You remember yesterday I was saying how the souls in the next life cannot influence us in a bad way? They can't be angry at me. On the contrary, they're going to shower their blessing upon us. Yes, they're all gone. Most of them are gone. Now, you remember we had this assembly, and then we had... there were some Persian believers in it who knew not one word of English. They had come out from Persia and they had not been familiar to any of these standards in the Western world. It was so strange to them. They did not know one word of English. And they were insisting that anything which is said in the local assembly, they must know what it was. And I had to translate it for them, you know, every word. Now they would say, it's no use just to tell us the gist of it or the briefly, but you have to tell us word by word so that we can understand this man when he's talking. That's a difficult job, you know. And if I ever wouldn't do it, they would quote verse and chapter for me that you must do it, you know. So this was one of the things we had to have. Then we had a lady who was suffering from Parkinson's disease, and whenever she came to the meetings we had to be very quiet, and she was shaking, and we often had to make her lie down. You see? And then we had a gentleman who was stone deaf. Wouldn't hear a thing. And I remember my job was to, first of all, when the discussions began, I had to translate it into English, into Persian for the friends. And then I had to always sit beside our beautiful, wonderful Mr. Jones, who was deaf, and shout into his ears what we have been saying, you see? Now imagine, this is an institution which is going to govern the whole of mankind in the future. Now how can we, if we lose the vision of it, then you will deteriorate into a very low condition. But you must always keep the vision that this is the source of God's kingdom on earth, you see. And Mr. Jones, I had to shout at him all the time. And the minute you shouted, Doris would say, "Oh, why do you shout so much?" I remember one day we were sitting there and we were discussing subject, and somebody made a suggestion saying, when we hold these public meetings in these hotels, you know, we used to have a public meeting in a hotel. He said, well, let us give a cup of tea to everybody. It's nice. At the end of the meeting, we'll give them a cup of tea. So I translated this for our friends. They said to give a cup of tea. They said, fine, we agree with this. Then I turned to our friend. They say that in the hotel, you should give them a cup of tea every time that the friends come. He said, I've had a cup of tea at home, not now. You see? So I said, no, not in here. Oh, he said, you're not giving us a cup of tea every time you did. So having finished this, I said, no, Mr. Jones agrees. We should have a cup of tea to the Persians. Oh, no, but he said, you have been talking to him a long time. You must tell us what he was saying. All the details of it we want to hear. You were talking to him for a long time. Now friends, this is the basis of our institutions. This is how our institutions are functioning. You see the weakness now? You could look, if you look at it from the outside world, it is very funny and it is very insignificant. But you know, these institutions now have given birth, have matured, have given birth to a national assembly in that country. We have a national assembly. We have now 30 local assemblies, both in the north and the south of Ireland. Now the conditions have changed enormously. But in those days, it was the weakness of the institutions, was part of the growth of the institutions. Because the faith has an organic growth. It doesn't grow up like a machine. You don't mold it into a shape and say, there it is. It's an organic. And when you first put the seed down into the ground, you go and see that seed. You go and unearth it. Just open up the earth and see what has happened to the seed. It's rotten. It rots under the ground. And when you look at it, you say, oh, this rotten. What is it going to do? But it has life. And it will grow. And it will produce a tree. And I think this is the way we should look upon our institutions. And then all these weaknesses will be overlooked. Friends, let us go and have a... What are we going to do, Mr. Chairman? We will probably have a photograph. Or I would love to have a photograph, yes. It would be beautiful to remind us. If you... are you really tired, do you think, you people? No? If you are, you can lie down. You are already eating, some of you, I can see. You might just as well. Yes, well, let some others come in now. They are coming in. Encouraging to look at you all eating and drinking. It's a great thing to look at it, you know. And all I've got in here is a little bit of old water. Well, well, friends, we were in the previous session, we were talking about the weakness of our institutions today and how this weakness often clouds the issue for us of the greatness of the institutions of the faith. We think, oh well, we may look upon it as a weak institution, and therefore we will not be able to appreciate the power and the glory and the greatness with which these are invested. Now, I wanted to go a little further here and talk about this a little bit more, because it's very important that we understand the nature of our institutions. The nature of our institutions are embryonic. We are dealing with embryonic institutions of the faith. They are not the institutions which are now able to govern mankind. They are embryonic in the same way that the child in the womb of the mother has life, but it cannot do anything at this stage. It has a great future. These institutions of the local spiritual assemblies become houses of justice in the future, but now they can't become houses of justice. Now, in order to explain this point, I would like to draw your attention to the institutions of the outside world, the institutions which you will find mankind has built up for itself. There are many institutions, religious institutions, there are political institutions, social institutions, all over the world. But these institutions are all man-made, and there is no life in them. No life, really. If you look at any of these old world institutions, there is no life. They work like machines. Machines have no life. If you look at a machine, it has no life. But for a machine to work, all parts of that machine must work in perfection. Isn't that right? If you are having a machine, you cannot have a machine which it will not work unless everything is perfect. This is a fact. We know this. One little thing goes wrong in that machine, the whole thing will stop. So the emphasis is on perfection. But there is no life in it. Now you compare that machine with a child of 3 years of age and see the difference. Our institutions are like that child. You compare the outside institutions, which are like machines, and they have to work in perfection. Every part has to work in perfection. Now you compare that with a child of 2 or 3 years of age. You will find the child has no perfection. You see the difference now? It has no perfection, but it has life. And it has the promise of the future. This is the difference. Our institutions are like this. They are in the state of infancy. They are not perfect. They make a lot of mistakes, both local and national institutions of the faith. But they have life in them, and they have the promise of the future. You know, when you have a child which is very young and he comes into the room, we have none of them in here, by the way. We have got some beautiful children sitting who are much grown up, but I mean smaller than these children. If they come into the room, they are going to disturb a lot of things. They could disturb a lot of things. A child, a small child, could pull things up and break up things and draw lines on the walls for you and all kinds of things they do. But the parents are not worried about this. Why is it that the parents are not worried about all the imperfections of their child and all the wrong things he does? Because they know in the future he's not going to do it. That's all. They know when he grows up he's not going to do it. That's not why they're not worried about it. This is exactly the way we are. This is exactly the way the House of Justice is dealing with the local and the national spiritual assemblies of today. And the same way the Guardian did before them. They are not worried about all the mistakes we make at all. And do you know, we make a lot of mistakes in our institutions because they are not infallible. I was talking to somebody in the House of Justice, a member of the House of Justice, and he was telling me, he said, nearly we come across maybe with 20 or 30 mistakes that the National Assembly has done, some very serious mistakes, but we don't bring it to their notice. We let them grow out of it. They have to grow out of it. Maybe if there is one of them out of this 20 or 30, which is a fundamental point, we will bring up to their notice. You will be surprised to hear how many mistakes and wrong things and wrong attitudes that we have in our institutions, which are overlooked completely. They are not brought us to our attention. In the same way that a father or a mother would not and cannot, in fact, expect his child to act like a mature person. Can you do that? Can you ever do your child to behave like a grown-up person? If you do it, you're going to destroy him. But you must let him make all the mistakes and pull all the things together and push all the things down and break things up. And he grows and grows out of it himself. If everything that he does which is wrong, really, it's by our standards, by the adult standards, everything that he does really in the house is wrong. Now, if we try to correct him, punish him right, left and center, the minute he does a move, you just change it, he's going to become a nervous wreck. He will not grow. Whereas you have to let it do all these things and it'll grow out of it. But if he does something fundamentally wrong, oh yes, if he's going to burn his finger, you just pull him back. But other than that, you will put up with all the wrong and the difficulties that happens in the home with the child, because you know in the future he's not going to do it. This is exactly what the House of Justice today is doing to us. They know we make all the mistakes and all the weaknesses we have. Oh, so many things. And yet, they don't draw to our attention. So you see, the faith has an organic growth. The institutions of the faith have an organic growth. And so our job at this time, when we look upon our local spiritual assemblies, is to love them and to cherish them in spite of all these weaknesses that they have, in the same way that the parents love and cherish their children in spite of all the wrong little things that they do. And Not until we acquire this consciousness and recognize that these institutions belong to Baha'u'llah, that they have the future. Their future is great. In the future, they are not going to make these mistakes. And if they ever did, they will be held responsible by other institutions, by higher institutions. But you can't hold responsible a child for a lot of wrong things he is doing. You see, you give a nice suit of clothes to a child and you let him out into the garden, he comes back rolled in mud. You can't keep him responsible. You don't blame him. That's a child. But when an adult, if you give him to an adult, a 21-year-old man goes out and rolls in mud, he's in trouble. He has to answer for it. But that time has not yet come. And so we are to deal with our institutions with the greatest love. We have to cherish them. We have to obey them. Obey them, yes. And even they make wrong decisions. Abdul Baha has said that you obey them and the right things will come out. And I have seen this happening over and over again. And sometimes it may be very difficult for us to obey them because we know they have made a wrong mistake, wrong decision in your heart of hearts. But we don't criticize them. It is forbidden to criticize the actions of the local spiritual assembly publicly. Oh, you can criticize them. The only way you can criticize these institutions is to write to them. If you have a criticism of any local assembly, you write to that local assembly and openly tell them what you think of it. Now, it is the duty of the local assembly then to pay attention to it and give you an answer and discuss it. Now, if you are not satisfied with their answer, you don't disobey them. You still obey them. But you write. But this time you turn to the National Assembly. And even if you don't like the decision of the National Assembly, you still obey them. But then you can turn to the House of Justice and say, well, I don't agree with this. But you see, we have all the freedom of criticizing. But once you did that, once you wrote a letter, and once you went and saw them personally, that's finished. The minute you talk it over with a tenth person, with another person, then that is a serious breaking of one of the very sacred laws of the faith. You can't go on and criticize a local assembly by writing to them your views and then going out into the public and constantly saying, oh, you know, I think this assembly is doing this and this assembly is going to do that. This is against the faith. And the same thing is with the National Assembly. If you find that you are not happy with what the National Assembly does, you can criticize them in writing, but we cannot go out and criticize them in front of each other. But we have to obey them. But I know these things don't happen in here, probably. I'm sure of this. But I think that what we have to do, and this is a very vital thing, is that we have to cherish them and love them. Your National Assembly, for example, is a body that all the believers must rally around. You must pray for them. We must help them in your prayers, in your thoughts. And we must obey them. Obey that institution because it belongs to Baha'u'llah. It's the institution of Baha'u'llah's institutions. And we must never allow that institutions to be humiliated by any outside body or force. Well, I'm lost here. I don't know where to turn and what to say because time is limiting us. I think this conference is finishing, as far as I can see it, today, in a sense, because so many of you are going to go. And
could you say a word about meditation as possibly distinguished from study?
Well, I'll make a note of it in here because there are so many points that the friends have asked in here, and I maybe talk about all of these things. I feel that the best thing for me would be, maybe now, to turn to your questions and see whether we can at least end up this. And if you, those of you who come tomorrow, we could all together begin with a different subject. So let us perhaps see what we have here now and try to deal with some of the questions. Is that acceptable to you? Now, what I have said so far about teaching and this afternoon, if you have any questions that you even want to ask now, I can make a note of them in here and then we'll see how we can fit them in. And anybody else has any questions? Yes?
I don't know if it would be feasible, but I wonder
tomorrow, where there'll be kind of a new situation. If you could give us, the people that are here, a mini version perhaps of that teaching seminar you give in Europe.